This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
An arm and a leg for healthcare.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Right now, our healthcare bill is pretty hefty. $7,500 for every man, woman, and child in this country. But a study out today says we ain't seen nothing yet. Government economists predict that tab will double within a decade. The study's published online in the journal Health Affairs. Sarah Gardner tells us more about it.
According to federal analysts, 10 years from now, health spending will account for nearly 20% of U.S. gross domestic product. Peter Lurie, deputy director of Public Citizens Health Research Group, says the pattern is unsustainable.
I think that the signs of the dangerous increase in expenditures on health care have been there for at least a decade, and Congress has been ignoring it.
Lurie's group is pushing for national health insurance. Others, of course, advocate free market reforms. Either way, it's clear health care is taking center stage in our economy. Glenn Melnick is a professor of health care finance at USC in Los Angeles.
Health care really will be the gold rush of the 21st century. There have been reports out that 30 to 40% of new jobs in our economy over the next 25 years are going to be in healthcare.
Federal analysts predict the fastest growing area of medical spending will be home healthcare. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Investors bought up tech stocks yesterday. That pushed the NASDAQ up 16 points to 2513. The Dow gained 19 to another record close of 12,786. The S&P 500 added 4 points to 1459. Today, the Bank of Japan raised interest rates to their highest level in more than a decade. Of course, they've been at zero most of the decade. They're now at 0.5%. European Union environment ministers have agreed to cut greenhouse gas emissions by 2020. The goal is to cut emissions 20% below 1990 levels. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard says it's clear the EU wants to take a global lead on this issue.
Since the US and China, two major emitters of greenhouse gases, have so far refused to cap them, many Europeans feel that it's really down to Europe to do something to kickstart the negotiations to find a replacement for the Kyoto Protocol, which expires in 2012. As yet, there is nothing to follow that protocol.
The EU says its target could be pushed to 30% if other Western countries sign on to the idea.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Reuters, the world's news and information source, working to make a difference every day. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years, with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
Is the phrase congressional ethics an oxymoron? Hey, I'm just asking. Because yesterday, the House Ethics Committee unveiled new rules about junkets, like Tom DeLay's infamous golf trip to Scotland. The rules are supposed to put an end to that kind of stuff, but as Marketplace's Steve Henn reports, they really don't.
Under the new travel rules for the House, charities will be allowed to pay for trips for members of Congress to just about any destination in the world. Believe it or not, that is exactly how convicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff organized a series of golf trips to Scotland for members of Congress.
The House rules, whether deliberately or inadvertently, miss the entire point.
Fran Hill is a nonprofit tax expert at the University of Miami. Hill says under the new rules, a convicted felon, a foreign power, or big tobacco could give money to a charity for lavish congressional trips, and the public would never know who was really picking up the tab.
The problem is that charities do not have to disclose the source of the funds or the use of their funds. Once you put a charity anywhere in that transfer of funds, you have defeated disclosure.
Adding insult to injury, Hill notes that any company that uses the charity loophole to lobby will also get a nice, fat tax deduction, too. So how did this happen? Meet John Graham, the man the Washington Post dubbed Mr. Loophole.
Well, I think it was met tongue-in-cheek.
Graham runs the American Society of Association Executives, basically a lobbying group for lobbying groups. It was Graham's job to make sure his members would still be allowed to invite congresspeople to their meetings and getaways even after the recent ethics reforms.
Well, we got a pretty good indication based on the polling numbers we were seeing that the leadership of the House was going to change and Democrats were going to take over. We started working on Speaker Nancy Pelosi and her staff.
Graham did his work well. The new rules will not end congressional getaways. They even allow lobbying groups to pay for 1 or 2 day trips anywhere in the U.S.
We actually don't view it so much as a loophole, but as an improvement to the legislation.
Graham believes it's easy to tell the difference between the good trips and boondoggles, and he notes the public is paying attention. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
You might remember a while ago, Cisco Systems sued Apple Computer over the name iPhone. Today's the deadline for Apple to respond. As Pat Loeb reports, the companies may try to settle this thing.
You might think a lowercase I in front of any word automatically belongs to Apple, but in fact, Cisco has owned the name iPhone since 2000. That's when it bought Infogear, a company that trademarked the name for an internet phone. According to Cisco's suit, Apple was well aware that Cisco owned iPhone because it started trying to buy the name in 2001. Cisco thought it was still negotiating when Steve Jobs unveiled Apple's iPhone with great fanfare last month. Cisco has twice extended the deadline for Apple to respond. Cisco spokesman John Ngo.
Both companies are using the extra time to hopefully come to an agreement on trademark usage of the iPhone name and areas of interoperability, making the products and technologies of both companies work better with each other.
An Apple spokesman confirmed the two sides are talking. In Los Angeles, I'm Pat Loeb for Marketplace.
IKEA is going to start charging people for walking out of their stores with plastic bags. 5 cents per bag. The money will go to a conservation group that plants trees. IKEA's 29 U.S. stores went through 70 million plastic bags last year. The store hopes to cut that number in half in the first year of this new policy. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.